welcome to Team Duct Tape Podcast with your hosts, Josh Espinoza and Brian Lakes.
It's August 5th, and this is episode 23 of the Team Duct Tape Gaming Podcast, where we talk about the games and geeky things we love to the people who care. I'm Josh Espinoza, and with me, as always, is Brian Lakes.
What's up?
So, you know, one of the things I wanted to start off, and it's kind of unfortunate that Dom's not actually here to talk about it with us, but he actually had a really great idea of, as a guild, like as Team Duct Tape Gaming, us starting to do some Let's Play stuff. His original idea was to, you know, because obviously Comic-Con's coming up here soon, and, you know, to do for Comic-Con, one of his ideas was go ahead and, or let's get all these people, because obviously we have like 9 people getting together to do this, to go to Comic-Con as a group. Sorry, I'm kind of rambling a little bit. But anyway, he's like, let's get us all together, get us into a room, we'll play some Diablo, right? We'll get us into groups and we'll put it on heroic or hardcore. Sorry, hardcore. Put it up to like master rank. Roll brand new tunes, and just see how far we get.
That's gonna be a slaughter,
right? But no, doesn't that sound fun?
It does sound fun.
And just, you know, and that might be the start or something, the first one, but maybe that might be something we start doing in the future, you know, ideas like that. I thought it was a really great idea.
Oh, yeah. We've always said some of our best conversations we had during Raid.
Right.
So it could be fun. Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And so keep an eye on the YouTubes for that. I'll be, you know, talking about it in Twitter and whatnot, and even the next show afterwards and whatnot. So I don't know any dates or for it yet. Obviously, you only need 4 people to do it, so we could probably do that anytime, really.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, we talked the last week about changing the structure of our show a little bit. Usually we do news and stuff first, and then we talk about what we're doing, and you know, it kind of, after a while, it just made sense to me, and when me and Brian, we talked about it, how to put the stuff we're doing first, because that's, you know, obviously that's probably what you guys are here to hear, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what you're listening for, what we're doing. For some reason, you want to know what we're playing, so that's why we're here, and that's what we can talk about best, you know, is what we're doing. You know, I mean, if you want news, you can go lots of places for news, and we'll still cover news. You know,
right.
But we want to talk about the stuff we really care about.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously we'll hit, you know, news and the big stuff especially, but it's not just, you know, going over everything that happened over the last week.
Yeah, exactly. You can get that stuff anywhere. Let's just talk about the stuff we care about.
Exactly. So with that, do you want to start us off there, Bri?
Yeah, let's get into this. So this week, what I've been playing, big number one thing I've been playing is The Last of Us on my PS4.
So jealous.
And the game is amazing. I cannot say enough good things about this game. I mean, I have a track history of hating survival horror games. And this, I would have to say, if you can call it a survival horror, which I think you can, basically is it. It is probably the first real survival horror game that I've actually really enjoyed, and I cannot stop playing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, you have weapons, lots of different weapons. You can upgrade those weapons. They give you enough ammunition to try different things. You know, you still have a melee system. The ammunition in the weapons is scarce, but there seems to be enough of it where if you're careful about using it, you can get through areas and then switch to a different weapon, you know? Yeah. So you may not have a ton of bullets like in your hunting rifle or something like that, but you can always switch to your shotgun after you're through with bullets in your hunting rifle, you know? And the way they do everything in real time is really cool in the game. It adds a sense of urgency. So if you're getting attacked, and you run out of bullets in one weapon, you're going to have to take cover and dig through your bag to find your other weapon, pull it out, and get it equipped, all while enemies are running towards you or scouring an area for you. And it's really cool. But the most amazing thing about this game, I would have to say, hands down, is the story. The story is amazing in this game. I mean, I love, and I know you do too, Josh, is that post-apocalyptic kind of feel in video games.
Right.
We kind of gravitate towards those. Mm-hmm. And this is, I don't know. It's like watching something out of The Walking Dead, only you're not fighting zombies. I mean, you could call them like kind of zombies, but they're not really.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, because obviously that's how it's sell. You know, it's
oh yeah.
Advertised as. And I was going to ask you, how do they go about doing the zombies? Because obviously we've seen several different, you know, like with World War Z, they have that kind, and maybe in like something like I, Legend, there's a different kind.
Yeah, there's a vampire zombies or whatever you want to call
them. And
then
in the Walking Dead style, you get more of a traditional style zombie.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to really be spoiling anything. The game's been out for, you know, for
a while.
So I don't really think I can spoil anything. But basically, what you have here is people have been infected by this disease, this fungus called cordyceps. And it's actually a real fungus in the real world, you know, and it does have some basis, so they've just taken it a step farther. What they've seen is this fungus infects, in the real world, this fungus infects ants and actually kills them, but the fungus kind of animates the ant.
Mm-hmm.
So they've kind of taken that a step further and put that into humans. So this fungus, and it doesn't really explain how all these spores and stuff started or where it came out of or something, but you get a feel of like, well, maybe this is how it started as the game progresses. There's some different notes you find in the game and letters and audio recordings and stuff, and it gives you a sense like, oh, maybe this habit got into scientists were testing monkeys with this fungus, and the monkeys escaped and
bit people
or something like that. It kind of leads you to that, but it's up in the air. It doesn't really come out and say this is how it started.
Right.
But
well,
basically,
here's my question, though. Have you beat it yet?
No, not yet. I am more than 3/4 of the way through the game, I would bet.
So see, maybe you just haven't got to the answer.
Yeah, maybe I haven't. I got to the big place in the game where they're first trying to get where they're supposed to be, this compound of scientists that are working on this thing. And in that building, you find these audio logs. And that kind of is where I got the whole monkey idea. But it wasn't clear to me if the monkeys thing happened after the outbreak had already started. It kind of seems like it did. So, like I said, it's kind of up in the air so far into how it really started. But the way they do this is there's 3 stages to the infection. So the first stage is you have these like flu-like symptoms and stuff. And then you have stage 2, which is you get the runners. These people start acting really crazy, running all around, chasing you. And they will try to kill you, you know, and they'll bite you and eat you, basically. And in the game, they're called stalkers. And they use their sense of sight and stuff. If they see you, they will come after you. Mm. The stage 3 is the fungus grows out of the people's skin and kind of starts to cover their whole body. And you get these enemies called clickers. And they kind of go after their tougher enemy, so you can't like kill them with like a melee strike as you can with the stalkers with several melee weapons, you know, weapon hits or something like that. You can't do that with a clicker. And they hunt by sound. So if they're around, you can try to sneak past them, but you got to be really careful. I mean, even if you're crouching and behind cover and stuff and being quiet, you have to push lightly on your controlling stick to get past them without them noticing you. there's different things. You can still use guns to kill them and whatnot, but they're really tough. The last enemy they have is still – it's a further stage of stage three. They're called they're people that have been infected for a very long time. So the fungus has grown all the way out of their skin, and it has basically its host in like this protective fungus shell. And I think they're called bombers because they throw this like – they're really tough to kill, and they throw this like spore thing that like will blow up around you and cause like a dot on you that will take your life away and stuff. So those are the enemies, and that's how they kind of treat the whole zombie idea. And it was kind of a really cool idea, you know?
Yeah. So is this another one of those that they avoid saying the word zombie?
Yes.
So they don't say that at all?
The word zombie never comes up. They always call them the infected or clickers or something like that.
Much like The Walking Dead, where that's always walkers or biters.
Yeah, so walkers or biters or something like that. But really, you know, there's that enemy in the game, and then you're faced with the downfall of society too.
Sure.
And most of the people you meet in the game are bad and become enemies, and they will hunt you. So you're fighting very much the downtrodden in society, you know, the remnants of what society has left over. And it's, oh my gosh, this game has a lot. It's very kind of, it's kind of linear, but kind of open as well. It's not like you can go anywhere and do anything. There is a linear story to it, but the game levels give you enough where you can go around to several different buildings or wherever you're at, and you want to check every nook and cranny for any type of crafting material, you know, that you can see. You're still going in old, dilapidated hotels and houses and stuff and looking for, you know, looking for stuff, you know, to find.
Right. That's one of those games that I want to play so bad, and it's very widely recognized as the best game that is on the PS3.
Oh yeah, they call it the crowning achievement of the PS3, and I was so glad to when they announced that it was coming to the PS4, because that was one of the reasons I wanted to go back to PlayStation.
Yeah, I've almost bought a PS3 several times because of this game.
Yeah,
I'm kind of bummed out that I haven't been able to pick it up yet, but, you know, I will get around to playing, especially now that it is on the new-gen console, because, you know, eventually it's going to be on sale, I'll pick it up, or maybe, you know, down the road I'll borrow yours, or, you know what I mean? There's going to be a time to play it eventually, and it's not like it's brand new, and it's like, oh, it's going to be way late by the time I play it, because it's already way late by the time I play it.
Is. And there is a multiplayer portion of the game. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm not so interested in playing it. You know what I'm saying?
I feel about most multiplayers.
Yeah, I just kind of want to get through the story and see what happens next in the story. The multiplayer I haven't even attempted to go on because I've been so riveted by the single player story.
Sure, sure.
And there's a crafting system in the game, and you'll find different crafting mats in houses that you explore and stuff. But like I said, if you want to craft like a health kit and anything like that, there are times where you're going to have to do that in real time when enemies are coming up to you and, you know, you're really low on health and you have to do something, or you got to craft a nail bomb or a smoke bomb, or, you know, you want to wrap a blade around a melee weapon so you can one-shot stalkers or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've done an absolute – I mean, this is – they've knocked it out of the park on this. And if I would highly recommend this game to anybody that's even on the fence about, you know, if they were like me and saying, I don't really like survivor horror games like Resident Evil, I would say go out and get this, because it is amazing. It's an amazing game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess those would be considered survival horror. I guess when I think of survival horror now, I always think of, like, Outlast.
Yeah, and that game was so weird, you know? I mean, it's all about hiding. They didn't even give you a weapon in the game, you know?
Right, and that was my big thing, too. I can't stand that. Give me something to attack. I'm not I can't just stand that just hiding thing.
That yeah, is- I mean, I can hide for so long, but not even being able to attack an enemy back or you fail the mission is just retarded to me. I think
that's the part, is if you want to have that in the game as a way to do it, great. But don't make that the only way to do it.
Exactly. And you can do that in The Last of Us. I feel like if you were, there's probably some achievement. I haven't looked. But you could probably play through the game sneaking through it, I would imagine, in some ways. I mean, there's some certain spots where it might be kind of iffy to me that you could actually do it. But I'm sure there's probably achievements in the game where if you snuck through whole sections that you'd probably get an achievement. Yeah. You know, or trophy.
They like to do stuff like that.
Yeah. But really, really great game. A lot of different weapons. I mean, hunting rifle, shotgun, bow and arrow, a flamethrower, several different kinds of pistols, nail bombs, smoke bombs, melee weapons, a ton of different melee weapons, lead pipes, wood. You know, wood sticks, from wood sticks, 2x4s kind of thing, to wood axes, you know, axes and machetes and things like that. And it's just, it's awesome. And the world that they've created in this game is you just want to know more about it. And everything is so beautiful in the game. It looks amazing. I mean, just going into the sewers, even when I got to a section where I was going to the sewers, I was like, oh great, they're putting me down in the sewers, this is gonna be fun. It was really cool because they had all these, like, this base that somebody had made down in the sewers, and I was like exploring the base, going through, and there was like this whole like little commune that had been created down in the sewers with like different rooms and stuff, and you could see where the people were trying to survive, and they had started like a school down there and trying to teach their kids and stuff, and then of course the infected got in and killed them off, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
But really cool. All the exploration is really cool. I mean, you're just and it goes through several. The story goes from Boston to right now. I'm in Colorado on my way to Salt Lake. So it really cool. And the characters are just amazing. They've done a great job with all the characters in the game, even the bad ones that you just want to hate, you know.
Yeah, you gotta have those.
Yeah, great villains, great, you know, great heroes. The people you're playing with, you want to root for them, you know.
Sounds like it's gonna be right up my alley.
Oh, it's gonna love this game. Yeah, but that's been taking most of my time this week. But
yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, what about you? What have you been doing?
So one of the things I did want to talk about this week is, we did get to play a new game, well, a new game to me, and it's not something we've talked about before on the show, I don't think. But Dom and I, and you and your wife, and
Sarah.
Wife.
Yeah, Sarah, yeah.
Yeah, we all got together and we played, what was that game now? It was a Marvel
Legendary
card game.
It was called Legendary. It's a Marvel card game. It's a deck building game.
Yeah, and I was really surprised how fun that was and how easy it was to get going. It seemed, when I was looking at this board you had and all these different cards, I was like, this looks complicated.
Yeah, that's what everybody says the first time they play it. They're like, oh, this looks hard.
Yeah, it just looked complicated. Like, there was a lot I was going to have to be paying attention to, but it was really pretty straightforward and it was a lot of fun. It was like, I was looking at that and I'm thinking, man, I think I might want to buy this.
Yeah. And they have several expansions to it, too. I believe there's two expansions out for it. But the thing I like most about the game is it's a cooperative game.
Right,
you know,
right.
You're not playing against one another. I mean, there's an element of trying to be the best, you know, and getting that individual win. But for the most part, you win the game when everybody wins.
Yeah, that was one of the things I liked about it, too, is it wasn't us playing against each other. It was definitely the, us getting together and coming up with a strategy, you know, working together.
And that's the thing I really noticed when we got together to play it. I mean, before this, I've only played with, like, family, like me, the kids, and Sandy. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't notice the strategy element to it about, like, oh, hey, why don't you use, you know, what do you got in your hand? Because it never says in the rules that you can't tell the other players what you have in your hand.
Sure.
You know, so we were planning different things to take this guy down and to do this. And do you think you could take him down if I take him down? It was really cool, all the strategy we were getting into. And, you know, it was a lot of fun.
That's definitely something I'd be looking to play again. Because I had a ton of fun with it.
We'll play it again.
Yeah, it did seem like it would scale pretty easily, too. You know, if you had like two or three or whatever.
Yep, it scales really, really easy. The max we had the max amount of people we could play.
Right.
I'm not sure if the expansions up that or, you know, whatnot, but you can have anything from two people on up to five playing.
I wonder if having the max kind of was hindering us at first because we were getting monsters out so quickly.
Yeah, it could have been. Could have been. But the other thing that's really cool about the game is there's so many each time you play, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you were to play the same mission, it's going to you have different characters you're going to be using. You have different villains you're going to be playing against. It's never going to be the same game.
Yeah, and then some of the effects, it just reminded me of, you know, some other card games that I really like. How, you know, this card, when it dies or whatever, it does this effect. Whereas, you know what I mean? Or just different effects when you fight this card. It was really well thought out, I think. And just like I said, a ton of fun.
Yeah, I had a blast playing with you guys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the other things that I've been doing this week is one of my most favorite franchises finally came out on my Vita. And I've been looking for this game for 2 months because it's been delayed off and on again and stuff, but it finally came out this last week, and it was the Ratchet and Clank collection that I picked up on my Vita.
Yeah,
and I have been having a ball with this. It totally holds up from the PS2 days. I mean, it plays so well on the Vita, and just great nostalgia, great humor. Did you ever play any of the Ratchet and Clank games, Josh?
No, I know the name, obviously, but I haven't actually played any of these. I remember when you first brought up the name, I thought you were talking about Banjo and Kazooie. That was what first came into my head.
Okay. Yeah, so Ratchet and Clank, yeah, it's great. You get all three games on the Vita version, and I believe I couldn't find it at GameStop. The day it came out, I even went to GameStop looking for the game, and they didn't have it on their records as coming out. So I'm not sure if it's a digital-only release or not. I mean, I know in the UK, they have a physical version of it that came out back like in May or June or something, and it's taken that long for it to come here. So I'm not even sure if there is a physical copy to Ratchet and Clank collection, but you can download it off the PS, the PlayStation Store.
Have you looked on Amazon?
I have not. I did. I remember looking, but I could only find versions that were over in the UK.
Oh yeah, maybe they just didn't release a physical copy here. I know that, you know, GameStop's been getting a lot of flack in the headlines these days, and I just want. So when you said that, it was my first thought. It was like, well, it is GameStop.
It is GameStop, yeah. But you get three of the Ratchet and Clanks. I believe there's one more that they had on the PS3, but I'm not sure that. I don't think that one is part of the collection. I believe these are all the PS2 era Ratchet and Clanks.
Gotcha.
But yeah, 1, 2, and 3, and great games. It's kind of a platformer. But in a 3D environment kind of thing. But the thing about the game is you want to break every crate, finding little nuts and bolts so you can buy the new crazy weapons. And these weapons are a lot of fun in the game. Like they have this one weapon. My favorite weapon is probably called the Doom Glove, where you throw out this little ball into a midst of enemies, and all these little like spider robot creatures come out and take down the enemies around you. I love that weapon for some reason. It's so much fun. But you get gadgets, a lot of different gadgets. And upgrades on your characters and stuff so you can do different things. And then you have to go back to previous levels to revisit them and go in new areas now that you've got gadgets that you couldn't get into before. So there's that kind of exploration factor, new crazy weapons, and the dialogue and stories are hilarious. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of fun. So if you have a Vita and you're looking for something to play on it, it's a great pickup game. I believe it was $30 to download it. So you're getting $10 for each of those games. Great price.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you were speaking of the Vita. You were telling me earlier that Square is doing a big sale on their
sale right now. Yeah, I picked up Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions today for $5.
Yeah,
and they have another game Square Enix did on the PS1 called Front Mission Evolved. That's basically a Final Fantasy Tactics with mechs kind of thing. It doesn't have anything to do with Final Fantasy, but it was kind of a Splinter story that they did, and it's all about mechs and giant robots, and it's kind of a strategy game that way. So I picked that up, and it was for $3.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the Final Fantasies that have been on the Vita and PS1, PS2, not PS2, sorry, PS1, are on that sale. I mean, anything from Final Fantasy Origins, that's basically the first two Final Fantasies, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, Final Fantasy Tactics and War of the Lions, everything on there. All right, nice. And even those weird Dissidia games, you remember those? The fighters are on there too. But yeah, I believe they're all like $5.
Nice.
So you want them, go get them.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely is a good time. I know that you were talking about Tactics. And obviously, we've been playing a lot. Well, I have been playing a lot of XCOM lately. But have you looked at Wasteland 2 at all?
I have, but the thing that keeps pushing me off of it is it keeps getting delayed.
Right.
It's in early access, and the company is like having a lot of problems. So I'm like wondering if the game's actually ever going to be finished.
And that was one of the things. First of all, I wasn't ever going to do the early access. I would wait for it to actually have a release. But I was looking at some video, and I'm like, post-apocalyptic tactical strategy. This seems like it's right up my alley.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have looked at it. It's just there's a few things that I'm kind of iffy about. I don't really like the early access stuff just because you always run into crazy bugs, and I know that's part of early access.
Of course. Yeah, if you want to be on the cutting edge and helping develop the game, that's great for you. That's exactly what you want. And that's not me.
Exactly. That's not me either. I can't stand unfinished things. Right. I want to be able to sit down and play the game.
Especially in a game where, like with tactical strategies, balance is very important. In the development, balance is something that you're constantly working on. So that's a big thing for me, especially with this kind of game that would make me want to wait for a release. But yeah, I did add it to my wish list. So
I think it's on my wish list as well. I think I have it on there just to watch it, you know, what it's coming. Now, skipping ahead a little bit because you brought it up. did you see that they have actually released this week an XCOM board game?
I did see that.
Yeah, an XCOM board game. So it's a miniature tabletop game. And there's a companion app that goes with it.
Right.
So, and it looks like it could be a lot of fun. It reminds me of that other game we play. What is it? The miniature game? The Dungeons and Dragons on training wheels?
Descent.
Descent, thank you.
Right.
But this is more like very tactical kind of thing. Several different missions to play through. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that was one of the things I referred to XCOM a lot when I first started playing this. I was like, man, this plays a lot like Descent, you know? And the only concern I have with the board game is first of all, it does look like a ton of fun. My big concern is it needs the app to run the game.
Yeah.
And the app does a lot of the game. Mm-hmm. So as long as they're going to keep the game or the app functioning properly and all that, great. But as people's devices grow, as the OS changes...
Yeah, are they going to support it?
Are they going to support that app? And then if you're not... Okay, so if the game's, $20 and you get the app, then I would say, okay. Because then a couple months down the road, if it stops working. Well, you know, but if I'm over here, like Descent, I think, what did I pay, $80 for that back when we bought it? If I'm paying that kind of money, that better work.
Yeah, exactly. And that brings up a good point, because this is done by the same company. This is done by Fantasy Flight Games, who teamed with Fire Axis to make this board game. So you know it's going to be a quality game, but you are going to be paying for that quality. And like you said, as devices get older and stuff, who knows if this is really going to, you know, if they're really going to support it.
Yeah, and basically... best case scenario is, they just update it as it needs it. But I see so many companies that they come out with this stuff and it's kind of gimmicky almost, and then it kind of falls to the side, you know?
Well, I highlighted this part in the article because I was concerned about the same thing. And this is what they say about the apps. This is coming right from Fantasy Flight. They say the app's primary function reads the game description. Is to coordinate the escalating alien invasion, randomly selecting from 1 to 5 different invasion planes. Each invasion plane represents a general outline that the alien commanders will use to coordinate the arrival of new UFOs, plan strikes against your base, and respond to successes or failures as it seeks to conquer Earth. The app manages all of these tasks and heightens the game's tension as it forces you to respond in real time. So like you said, it's a big part of the game.
Right.
You know,
when I saw a picture of what comes in the box and stuff, I was like, that's it? Because a lot of it is done by the app.
It is. You got your game board, it looks like, but there's like 16 plastic miniatures, a bunch of cards. It looks like a bunch of, you know, tokens kind of thing. You know. It looks like it'll be fun, but like you said, I'm a little worried that it's going to be too – I hope it's not gimmicky with the app, you know?
Right. And, you know, Fantasy Flight, they've always – I mean, I haven't got a game from them that I was disappointed with yet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you know, it's. I believe it'll be high quality, very fun game. But it's interesting to see that they decided to use this app instead of like – having someone read the dialogue or act as kind of the overlord kind of thing of the game, you know?
Yeah, and I was kind of feeling like I don't know. Obviously, you can't put too much into the box, but maybe like some tile system where you can build these different, you know, maps and stuff and make it play kind of like XCOM, you know? I think I would have been just happy.
And it could
with that.
Be that way. One of those stacks that it shows next to the board that they have there could be that, because all the board is showing in the picture that we have of it is just, if you notice, it's just the globe, the world. So I can't imagine that you're going to use those 16 figures you have on just that world map. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So maybe there's something we're missing there, but it looks fun. I'm tempted to give it a try, you know?
Yeah, have they announced the price yet?
No, I'm guessing it's probably not as much as Descent, but I bet you it's at least $50.
Yeah, I'm imagining in the $40-$50 range.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that I would definitely be up for trying, because I like my XCOM, but I'm skeptical on those two parts as well. So it's kind of like,
It's not quite releasing yet. I believe it's a little ways off still. But they're taking it to what's that game conference? Gamescom or something like that.
And they're going
to
play it.
They're taking it to, and they're going to play it there. So I look forward to seeing some reviews on it, what people are going to say about it. You know?
Definitely.
So it looks like you've gotten back into reading comics this week.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about Walking Dead. The Last of Us, I should say. And so I was sitting there thinking, you know, I really like the Walking Dead series, but I never read the comic books. So I was like, why shouldn't I read the comic books? I actually ended up getting the first 5 issues through a Humble Bundle deal. They were bundled with a bunch of other things, but I ended up getting the first few. And
now, is it? Do you mean like the trade paperbacks or issues 1 through 5?
Issues 1 through 5.
Okay, right, I have issues 1 to 99. So, I will. I will bring those over for you next game night.
There you go.
You can download them.
Yeah, and so one thing I noticed right away is they're all black and white so far. I don't know if they add color later or not.
They're always all black and white.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't need it, for sure.
Yeah.
And I guess that also makes sense to me now why they did, you know, after they were like three seasons into Walking Dead, they started over and did them in black and white. Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me now, because I was like, why does that matter? You know what I mean? What's that point of that? It all makes sense. But I'm only in like third or fourth issue, and so far it's kind of stayed pretty close to this TV series. I mean, obviously it's been a few years since I've watched the TV series, but the big points, the main points that you're getting, they've been pretty right along with the show. Now, obviously, I know it differs later on and kind of that kind of stuff. But
now, Jake Ellinger, our science friend, you know, is a big Walking Dead fan, and he's read all the way through the comic series up to the current issue. So he's been current the whole time, and he says where it starts really branching in the TV show is the third season, is where it kind of took a big break from the comics.
Now, is that where they get to the prison?
The prison, yes. The prison is where it takes a big turn. I mean, up to that point in the TV series, it's like you said, they've stuck to the major points in the comics, but the big changes come when they get to the prison.
Yeah, like there's a couple characters even, because so the where I'm at right now is, you know, he went to Atlanta, obviously, and then he found Glenn. Glenn took him to
the little camp
away from town. And there was a couple characters that I just don't remember from the beginning, and they might be there. I just didn't remember them. Like, there's some twins, like twin boys. I'm like, I don't remember them at all.
Yeah, I don't remember them in the TV series. But yeah, like you said, they stick to the major points at first in the first couple seasons of the TV show. They've stuck to those, but they've tried to make it its own kind of thing, using some of the same characters, but kind of branching off to make it original. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the comic book, you can, I mean, it doesn't have the same scare, like, well, the uneasiness that the TV show gave me, because obviously you get the music and everything, and it's real live action going on, but it's definitely been entertaining, and not just from the standpoint of as I saw the TV show, it has been interesting, you know, watching.
It's a great story, it's a great ongoing story, you know.
Yeah, and so I'm excited to keep reading on that. I've been trying to read at least an issue a day, but I haven't always got that.
But I'll have to bring those over for you. Yeah, I have them on a CD.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Now, speaking of more zombies, it looks like you've...
So the other thing, we're just on a theme here, you know? Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out with their second part of the medieval world. So I've been playing through that this week, and I actually just completed it today. So it's been a lot of fun. They've introduced some new plants, some new enemy types and stuff that's really freaking annoying. Like, you have these zombie wizards that come out, and they'll sheep you. They'll turn your plants into a sheep until you kill them, and then your plants go back to being normal. But when they're a sheep, they just sit there and, you know, make noises the whole time, and you can't really use them. But it's very entertaining. I like the humor in the games, and I'm a big tower defense fan, and this was basically, you know, the first real big tower defense game, in my opinion. And it's not really tower defense even. It's like lane defense, I guess, is more what you'd call it.
Sure.
But it's a lot of fun. The thing that I'm not liking about Plants vs. Zombies 2 is the reliance you have on the in-game currency.
Yeah, and at first it was obviously there and they shoved it in your face, but it wasn't required. And I've heard that a lot. It's the farther you get, the more
it's so much easier to pass a level to use the in-game currency than it is to, oh, well, I died, let's try it again. Right. You know? And you don't have to necessarily buy in-game currency. You can grind it out, which is what I've been doing, you know. But in the grind, in just this half, I'll give you a little perspective here. In the half, so 10 levels, I think, is what they gave you. So 20 levels total on each world. Mm-hmm. And this is the last 10 levels. I started out with 80,000 coins and power-ups that they give you to help, you know, when you get in a tight spot or something, you can use these power-ups. They use the in-game currency. They range from price from 1,000 coins to 1,400 coins. Mm. And I started, like I said, started out at 80,000. And by the time I completed it today, I was down to 43,000. So it's a pretty big deficit there. As far as, yeah, I wanted to get through the content, you know, kind of thing. And I played, I enjoyed using it. But I didn't really want to sit there and bang my head going, what do I need to do differently here instead of using the power-ups, you know?
Sure.
I'm sure you can, but I don't have that much patience.
Yeah. You know? I'm kind of the same way.
I think I've only – I have – the game is free to play. I've only spent 99 cents on the game to buy one plant. Because it was on sale. Mm-hmm. But the plants themselves, the plants that they don't give you, they range from $2.99 to $4.99 for just
for a plant.
They do have a couple bundles, but the bundles don't include multiple plants. It's more like a plant plus a power up plus some coins. And those are about $7.99 for a plant, a power up, and some in-game coins as the bundle.
Now let me ask you this, Brian.
Yeah.
Have you seen any Jay and Silent Bob yet?
No.
I've heard and seen videos that they're in the game. I didn't play it long enough that they are, but yeah.
I wonder what world that would have been in.
Apparently, Kevin Smith is a huge fan of Plants vs. Zombies. Him and his daughter play it a lot.
Oh, really? I'll have to go back and look. I'll have to play some of the levels. I don't think it's the Ancient Egypt level. Probably not the pirate level.
Right. Well, apparently they also did some little shorts about Jay and Silent Bob in that world. You'll have to look them up. I know they're on YouTube. There's like three of them, I think.
I'll have to look it up, yeah.
But yeah, and I've heard that there are zombies in the game as well. So, but I never played long enough to see anything like that. So.
Yeah. So, like I said, I got through the content. Now I'm back to grinding out currency. So I go to the endless worlds, you know, where you just fight an endless wave every time, and I grind out currency there.
Sure.
And it's pretty fun. I enjoy it. So,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
So I did want to bring up two games that are basically along the same lines as far as what kind of games they are there. I've been hearing a lot of people talk about Marvel Heroes 2015.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott's been talking about it a lot.
Yeah. Now, we played Marvel Heroes when it first came out, and I didn't have really that great of an experience with it. Obviously, I wasn't able to get in and buy one of the intro packs like you guys did, and because by the time I got to where I was ready to buy one, the ones I wanted were all gone. They were, like, sold out, or they cycled them out or something. And so I was only left with, like, five options for heroes that I wasn't interested in. And so then I was like, okay, I'll just take what they gave me at the start. And so I ended up getting, I think, Ms. Marvel and Daredevil. Right. And so this game plays just like Diablo. You know, you'd run out there. Well, not just like Diablo.
But you get the same. You get quests.
Yeah, the action, the game itself, the mechanics are basically the same. You grind for loot, all that, except for when you're out in the world grinding, there's also other people out there. And they're doing their quests at the same time. That kind of, so it kind of does give you a MMO kind of feel to it. But, it definitely is a, dungeon grind style game.
Exactly. An action RPG kind of thing.
And it might just be me being stupid, but I know that jumping back in, I felt so lost. I had a hard time figuring out what I should be doing.
You know, don't feel stupid, because I tried it a couple months back. Jim and I were like, hey, let's go try Marvel Heroes again, you know? You don't have Diablo. It was before Jim got Diablo 3. And so we were like, well, let's go try Marvel Heroes again. And we jumped back in and we were lost. We were like, I don't even remember what I was doing.
Yeah, and
you know,
I do like, because I remember back when we first launched, they were talking about how certain, you know, heroes can just drop from things.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a cool idea, you know, being able to, you know, grind things out like pieces of gear. Now, I don't know if they still do that, but I know that they've changed it so you can buy different heroes with in-game currency that drops. And, you know, I was playing, I played for a couple hours, and I got 4 or 5 of the little shards that you need to buy a hero. And I was like, oh, those are pretty common. You know, it's not too bad. Well, I go and look at the vendor, and they're like 500, 900. You know,
oh, geez.
So I was like, yeah, I'm not planning on putting that much time in it to get a hero that I am interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I mean, it was fun and all. It was a great game. It had, you know, the whole hero thing going on. So it was a ton of fun. But I think it's like, if I'm going to invest too much time, I'll just go play Diablo.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a good filler. And I, like you said, I'm glad it's doing its superhero thing. I'm glad there's a game out there like it, you know. But if I want that type of game, I think I'm just going to go back to Diablo, you know.
Right. And like I said, it has its own merits, and it's definitely doing some different things that Diablo isn't. But for me, it's like I've already got all this time invested in Diablo, and so I'll probably just play there.
Yeah, and I might go back to it at some future date, you know, but right now I'm not very anxious to do it.
That was the other thing I was going to say. If I'm going to play this game, it's probably going to be if you guys go back and play it, because I could tell right away that if I was playing with other people, I'd definitely been having a lot more fun.
Uh-huh.
So that's probably the way it'll be for me. And then I also did want to mention Diablo real quick, because Dom did finally pick up the expansion. He got his Battle.net account all fixed.
Oh, good deal.
And he got his a Crusader to level 70.
Nice.
And then we did a few rifts and bounty runs and all that, you know, the way we do things. So that was kind of fun having two Crusaders running around.
I wish he was here so he could talk about it. I want to know his opinion of, like, the expansion and stuff, what he thought.
Yeah, we'll definitely get him to do that next time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, not to beat a dead horse, you know, but I'm going to go back to our post-apocalyptic theme.
Oh, I thought you were going to say zombies again.
With zombies. Well, we'll go back to, we'll call it post-apocalyptic theme. Okay. Hey. I found this other game on the App Store. It's a trading card game called Survivor Clans, and it's actually a lot of fun. It's a free game. You go in, you can play. I played it on my iPad and on my phone. It's available on both iPhone and iPad, but it's a trading card game, and it's in a post-apocalyptic setting, and it's one of those that's. It's easy to learn. They give you a very good tutorial at first in the game, and then they give you a free starter deck. They give you two choices. You could pick one. There's other starter decks you can buy for like $3.99 for a starter deck, which isn't too bad for a starter deck, you know. And you can buy packs of cards for, of course, like $1.99 or something like that. I think they give you a bundle with 10 packs in it for like $11.99. And I haven't spent any money on this yet. But you do win cards as you go through the campaign, different areas in the campaign and stuff. But I'm not sure that all the cards are available through the campaign. Mm-hmm. But basically, it plays a lot like Magic in that you're playing against another either person or an AI if you're playing the campaign, and you're trying to get their health points down to zero. But you use different – you have survivors, they're called, in the game. And these range from just like crazy guys that have survived the apocalypse, you know. And each faction that they have has a different kind of theme to it. But the game plays out in a land-based kind of form. You have 5 lands in the middle of the table. And then you play cards. You can play a survivor on each side of a land. So your opponent can play – one survivor on one side of the land, and I can play a survivor on the other side of the land to block his survivor, you know, from hitting me, kind of thing. And each of the lands, they have different lands, and the lands can change during the game, but they give different bonuses and power-ups to your survivors in the game. But like I said, it's a lot of fun. It's free. It looks like it's been kind of an indie kind of job to the game. The cards themselves are not – they're photographic cards. So they're done with photographs rather than hand-drawn art. But the way they've done it, they totally pull it off. And it's got some good quality to it. So I would say it's free. Go give it a try. You know, you don't have anything to lose from it. You know?
Right. And that's one of the nice things about a lot of these iOS games we're getting is they're free to play. And obviously they have their in-game purchases. But you can get in there and try it and you have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you're going to win cards along the way in the campaign. I don't know if you can go back to areas and still win cards. I don't think you can just by reading some of the reviews I have read. But your initial play through the campaign, you will win cards. But I'm not sure that – I don't believe there's an in-game currency system that lets you buy cards from the store. And I reviewed the game. I put my review up on the App Store itself in my review, and I wrote the developer and said, you know, this is a great game. I like your ideas here, but I would like to see something like Hearthstone does and give you a chance to grind out in-game currency.
Sure.
You know, even if you were just playing against multiplayer or you're playing against AI or something like that, some way to balance out that pay-to-win kind of thing, you know?
Right. Some way to build in-game currency, even if it takes a while. You know, that's one thing that I can say that all the best device games do is they give you a way to build the in-game currency. Even if it's a slow way and it's tedious, there is a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would say try it out, you know. Don't have anything to lose. If you like a post-apocalyptic setting and you like trading card games, might be right up your alley, you know.
Well, yeah, why not? And then sticking on the Survivor style category or whatever you want to call it. I've been playing a lot of Minecraft. In fact,
Minecraft.
Our house has been playing a lot of Minecraft this week, and DT has been playing a lot of Minecraft this week. You know, we've been doing different projects. You know, in reality, I haven't built anything big since that big TARDIS I built. And the most thing I've been doing right now is terraforming, you know, building the area out away from our main base, flattening it, making it smooth so that we can build other big projects.
Yeah, I'll have to get back in there. I mean, I've been meaning to, but I've been so soaked up with Ratchet and Clank and The Last of Us that I'm just like...
No, I completely understand. When you do get ready to get in, I need to re-add you to the whitelist because one of the things we did do is we switched it over to a bucket server, so it's not a vanilla server anymore. Up until this point, we've always been running vanilla Minecraft. And we just noticed that there's some things, you know, there for a while they were coming out with updates fairly quickly. So it was cool because there was always getting new content, but it's just been kind of stale lately. And then, you know, there's certain features in the game that it's like, that really should be. There are certain things that we want in the game that's like, that really should be in there. You know what I mean? And so I went looking around and I found a place called Bucket. And what they do is modded Minecraft servers, so you can do mods for the server.
Nice.
And we haven't went crazy with it or anything yet. The biggest thing we've done right now is the ability to lock boxes, so you or whoever you say can get into this box, but not just anybody that's on the server. You know, so like our valuables, like diamonds and stuff like that, that's not very common. You know, we can lock that stuff up. And the other mod that we got that I really thought should just be in the vanilla game, it's a plugin called Salvage, which allows you to break down crafted items into some of their base materials so you can get some of them back. And, you know, it's not a huge thing, but I found it very useful because, you know, we've been doing a lot of exploring in the Nether and doing the Nether fortresses, grinding blaze rods, stuff like that. As you remember, you know, there's zombie pigmen in there, and they always drop golden swords.
Yeah.
Well, those golden swords are not worth crap.
Their damage they don't do anything.
Yeah, their damage is only about as good as a stone sword, and they don't last very long durability-wise because obviously gold's soft. It makes sense. But, you know, so it's like we had all these golden swords and nothing to do with them. Well, the nice thing about this is it allows you to break those gold swords down into like a single gold bar. Now, obviously, normally it would take a stick and two gold bars to make it. So, like I said, it balances out that by only giving you a portion of them back. So it's not like you can just, you know, make something and then turn it back into raw materials later kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a way to gain back some materials if you made too much of something, kind of thing like that. And so there's a couple other mods that I've been looking at that I've been trying to get to work, but they haven't really worked so far because we're currently on like the 1.7.9 beta of the bucket server, and I haven't had any problems as far as that working, you know, as far as the game itself or the server itself.
So no glitchiness, no.
Yeah, I haven't noticed anything like that. The only issues we have is not all the plugins are updated for that.
You know what I mean?
Because their last release, stable release, was like 1.6.8 or something like that. So it was a while ago. A lot has changed since then. Specifically, the core server file or the file system for the game itself. And so, you know, it's kind of hit and miss with some of the plugins.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main plugins I really wanted to try or get working is it's kind of like a hearth system. Like, and WoW, you know how you can hearth
home? Oh, so you could go back to the base kind of thing?
Right. But in this case, it's back to your bed. Once you've slept in a bed, then you can just type /bed and it'll teleport you back there. And then you can set it so that it's only doable every so long, often kind of thing.
Oh, that'd be nice, actually, right.
You know, stuff like that I've been interested in. One of the other mods that I want to mention that I haven't been able to find a working one, and this was a big thing for me that it makes no sense why this isn't in the vanilla game. I wanted a mod or a feature that you could hide the armor, make it not visible, even though you're wearing it and you get the protection, but make it not visible. Because they put so much focus and all this stuff into putting a skin on your character to make your character your own.
Mm-hmm. And then you cover it with armor.
Cover it with armor, exactly. And so I was like, that would just be, you know, and like I've said, none of this stuff is really great game breaking. And that's what I want to stay with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make this into a totally different game. I just want to add some features that I really feel like should be in the base vanilla version by now.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about mods. You know, you can add things to the game.
Right.
If we could get it working, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the one, the hide armor one that I'm really excited about, they did have a version for 1.7.9 release 1, and we're currently on release 2. So I'm hoping that they're just working on it kind of thing. Or maybe I'm doing something wrong. I wrote a message to the author, and I'm hoping he can get back to me sometime and just maybe update me on if they're working on a new one, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see.
Sounds cool.
I think that's it for Minecraft. We've been playing a lot of that, so.
Cool. I look forward to get back into it when I get some more time to play other things.
I completely understand. You know? That's one of the things I've been playing on my lunch break, really, because I actually have a lunch break now since we're out of the summer hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really leave my desk. And so the problem with that is before, during the summer, I'd eat my lunch while I keep doing whatever I was doing. And that was no problem, you know. Well, I've been having a problem with keep doing that, even though I'm supposed to take a lunch break. It's like, well, I'm not leaving my office. I'm just eating my food. So it was really hard to say, well, I'll just keep doing this. You know what I mean?
So I'll take a break and play Minecraft instead.
Right. And so that's exactly what I've been doing, is I just take a break and I play some Minecraft.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. The last thing I've been doing is I've been playing a lot of pinball too, Josh.
Yeah.
I've been playing pinball all over the place. There's this game called Zen Pinball, and it's on pretty much any device you look at.
Yeah, I've seen it everywhere.
Yeah, I have it on my PS4. I have it on my Vita. I have it on my phone. I have it on my iPad. So you can pretty much get it anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing, if you like pinball at all, I'm a big pinball fan. I love, even when I go to the nickel arcades and stuff, I spend most of my time playing pinball. Just it's one of the things that fascinates. I love the boards that they make and things that just the interactivity of the game, watching the ball go over and trying to make it go up a ramp and do all these skill shots and stuff in the game. It's great to me. Zen Pinball has taken that a step further, and they have some original tables that they've created, and they also have a lot of Marvel tables and Star Wars tables and other themed tables. They have a Plants vs. Zombie themed table, you know, on PlayStation. But I did not realize how many – I have not had it on my devices for a while, but I put it back on my iPad and my phone, and I have like 15 tables on this, and I did not realize I had that many tables. But I have just been having a blast going back through these and just seeing the level of detail that they have put into these tables. In a lot of the superhero tables, like the Captain America table that I have, is they'll have like interactive scenes playing out on the table as it's going on. So you'll hit this ball up the ramp that'll start this certain battle between Captain America and maybe the Winter Soldier or something like that, you know. And as you're trying to hit these different skill shots, the battle's taking place on top of the table, and you're kind of trying to watch the ball happen and see what's happening with Captain America at the same time. but they include a lot of lore to these characters inside the table. So all these different ramps that you can go up and all these different places that you hit on the table will spark some part of lore in for the character, mm-hmm. you know. So really cool level of detail that they've done here with all their tables. It's I think you can download it free on PS4 or any device. I think it's free. Yeah. You have to buy the tables. It may come with one table. I know on the PS4 it comes with the Sorcerer's Apprentice table. I'm not sure that it comes with a table on any other devices. You can download demos of the table that will let you play for a certain amount of time, but then they cut you off. So you can only play for like 2 minutes, and then it'll kick you out kind of thing. But the tables are pretty reasonably priced. They're about, I believe, on iOS, they're $1.99 for a table. They do sometimes have sales. On the PS4 and the Vita, I believe the tables run from $2.99 to $3.99. So
that's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. You know, I would like it to bring it all in line. If they were all $1.99, I think that would be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, but I imagine there's some more development that goes into it on the bigger systems.
Sure. I also hate I'm sorry if I misunderstood this, but you're saying some tables just cost more. Now, is it because of the different system, or is it just some tables cost more?
Well, it's the different. On iOS, all the tables are the same price, $1.99. Oh, okay. But on PS4 and Vita, the prices range from $2.99 to $3.99.
Okay.
And I believe it's probably for licensing, because the Zen table, the original Zen tables that they make themselves from original ideas are usually $2.99, and licensed tables that they've made from like Marvel characters or other characters are like $3.99.
Right. Okay, so licensing, that makes sense. I was going to say, I kind of hate the whole, and it makes sense from a marketing standpoint or a business standpoint, but the whole premium character, in this case, premium table style. So we're going to jack up the price. Like on Marvel Heroes, for instance, you know, you get some of the smaller no-name characters are like 700 coins or whatever. But if you go look at Iron Man, he's like 1,200 coins.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the thing. But not a huge price hike this time around. But if you're a pinball fan like I am, you know, pick it up. Play it. It's a lot of fun. There's just so much replayability to pinball. So
sure,
it's one of those very casual games. It's just fun when you get a second in line or something to play.
You know, I love pinball too. Mm-hmm. I guess you would call it a traditionalist. I love playing pinball, physical pinball. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time playing it on like a device with a touch screen.
I can totally understand that, because there's that the physicality of it is you're touching the pinball machine. You can even jolt it a little bit. You know, when you see your ball going, you tilt the machine a little bit to correct the path of the ball. Part of pinball, you know. But there's that part of and I have noticed this on some tables, is the sensitivity of the flippers that you have. You're like, you're pressing the button, but the flipper is not acting like a physical flipper. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not getting that feedback that you normally would when you're touching the machine. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So there's a little bit of disconnect there, so I could totally understand that. Luckily, in a lot of these tables, you can go into the operator menu for the table and adjust the sensitivity of the flippers so that you can more – you're getting a little bit more connected sensitive with the game. Yeah.
Now, is that like a by board kind of setting or –
Yes, each table has its own menu, so you can adjust the sensitivities on any board, and it's independent of that board.
That's good.
Yeah, there is another pinball game on PS4, but I would not recommend it. It's like Pinball Arcade or something like that, where they have a lot of the real world pinball tables that they've digitized and put in the game. Only problem is they want to charge $7.99 per table.
Yeah, that better be a damn good game then.
Exactly. And I downloaded that when I first got my PS4, and it was horrible. I was like, you can't play any – the game, of course, the base game is free to play, but that doesn't give you anything with the game. You get this game, but no tables to play on.
Nice.
You have these demos, and same thing. You can play a demo version of the board where you get to a certain score and then they kick you out.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the on Xbox 360, their whole game room thing they tried. Where you basically make a little arcade full of old school classic games, like classic, I mean, Atari age. Yeah,
Atari games.
But they didn't give you any games to start with. And it's like, well, none of these look like something I'm willing to pay for either.
You know, one of my most favorite tables ever, a real pinball game, was the Star Trek The Next Generation pinball machine. When I was living in Texas on military base, they had one of these in the cafe, and I would go there every day for lunch and play a game of pinball on this Star Trek table, Star Trek Next Generation table. But I'm not going to pay $7.99 for one table.
No, heck no.
You know, that's just way too much. And of course, there's 30 tables on there, but $7.99 a pop, screw that. You know?
Right. It's, you know, you're $7.99 for what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's just, Zen Pinball is much more reasonable. I can handle $1.99, even $3 for a table. But I'm not going to pay.
If it's one you really want, sure.
You know? So screw that.
Yeah. So, we did have one review come in. I know Sarah's been doing a lot of reviews for us, and so...
Yeah. So, this week she played an app. She calls it an app called Smash Hit. And so, this is what she says about it. She says, first off, it's one of the most beautiful looking apps she's ever seen. It's kind of like a runner where you're going through what looks like a future area made mostly of glass or crystal, as you want to call it. You go through, you have about 25 balls to start with that you use to smash triangle-shaped crystals, which when smashed give you 3 balls back. When you hit 10 in a row, you go up 1 ball extra that is thrown out. So instead of 1 ball being thrown out, you throw 2, but still only counts as 1 against your ball count. So it kind of makes sense there. If you continue to keep hitting them without a miss, you get up to 5 balls you throw out. So it's kind of that. You know, you're stacking, you're doing better, you get a multiplier kind of thing,
right,
is what I'm picturing here. Now, throw out the level crystals will pop up that you need to throw a ball to smash it out of your way. Then there will be a door, and you'll need to hit buttons. And if you miss these and run through them, then you'll lose 10 balls. Now there are 10 levels you must go through to get to the end, and in each level has a different optical you must – or a different objective or obstacle you must get through, obstacle to get through. Each level gets more challenging, and once you get thrown the last level, you can go up to infinity level, I guess. where you go till you're all out of balls. It's free. The free play is just the basic game. It will not save your place in which level you're at. You'll have to start over if you lose. The app is $1.99, which I believe is well worth it if you like free-to-play games. If you like the free play, yeah. It gives you the ability to start at the last level you were in, and it gives you a boss round, training round, and endless round. All of these are fun, and I have spent so much time on this game, I would say, for an app, this has to be one of my favorites.
Yeah, she had me play this, and I played it, and it is fun and all. It made me realize something, though, about me and what kind of games I like on my devices.
What's that?
I realized, and I don't know why I didn't realize this sooner, because I never enjoy games that you're actually playing on my device. Like, when they port Street Fighter or any of those, when it's a game I'm actually sitting there and playing on my phone, I don't like them. You know, if I'm actually doing something that I'm constantly paying attention to. The games I like playing on my phone, or my iPad for that matter, are the hurry up and wait games, like Clash of Clans. You click a few buttons, send a couple builders off, you're done.
So you're saying you like the type of games you can kind of do in your spare time.
Yeah, you do it real quick and then you're done. It's tapped out, you know.
I apologize for my coffee. Still got some of that remnants of my cold.
No, you're fine.
We missed for last week.
But, you know, like tapped out, like I was saying, you click a few times, you're done. Same thing with Family Guy. Those are my kind of games as far as the device goes. If I'm going to play a game that I'm going to have to sit and play, I'm going to want to play it on my Vita, my DS, or my console, something like that.
So do you think the thing that's throwing you off in the game is, like, in a lot of these games you're talking about, they have the virtual sticks?
Yeah.
That's, stuff. Is that something that really puts you off?
That is something that puts me off, just because I don't feel like I'm in as much control, because I'm not feeling the controller the same.
Okay, and, I can understand that, yeah.
Yeah, and in this game's case, it's not a controller. You're just clicking and, like, steering it kind of thing. But it's still that, like, I'm in trying to play this game, and I think that's just not my style of game for my phones, for me.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get that. Some of the, you know, in some of the arcade-style games that you have, the feedback it gives you from the virtual sticks can be really bad.
Right,
you
especially know, the controls. You know, like a platformer where you're jumping and stuff. It's like, yeah. Ugh.
Or a shooter. I mean, from the I love the modern combat games they have on iOS. They're basically a GameLoft's rip off of Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I buy them. I haven't bought the current one, but it just came out. But that's the hardest thing I have with the game is the virtual sticks and buttons don't always react like a regular controller.
Right.
You know, and it's really hard to use in certain games. I still enjoy them for what they are, you know, having basically a Call of Duty on the go, you know, kind of thing. But they can be hard to use.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you heard this, Josh, but just mentioning another thing, that BioShock, the original BioShock, is coming to iOS.
I was going to bring that up, but yeah, it is coming to iOS. That's kind of exciting. And I was looking at a couple of the... they were doing a side-by-side with the 360 versus the iPad, or the iOS version, I guess, and just split down the middle, and it looks pretty good. Obviously, some of the things aren't rendered as shiny and stuff like that, but I was surprised how well it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm you know, BioShock is one of my all-time favorite games. I'm looking forward to playing it on iOS, have a take-along copy of it. I mean, I would love to see it on my Vita or something like that to have an actual controller, but heck, I'll take it on on iOS, you know?
I think that's what I need. And I know they have them, I've seen them, but they're always so ridiculously expensive.
They are, like $70, you know, to get something.
A controller that I can hold and feel.
We talked about one a few episodes back. It might have been like... But it looked really cool where you could put it on your phone that flips out at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, so you have the pad and the buttons there and the shoulder buttons. It looked really cool. But it was like, yeah, like you said, it was like $60-$70.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, okay, so you get this controller. Well, are all my games going to support it?
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
Exactly.
There's only certain ones that support virtual or actual controllers.
Right, and so it's like, if they'll support it and I'm guaranteed they'll support it. Great, but
yeah, exactly. But it's cool to see one of my favorite games coming to iOS. You know, I mean, I like this trend that we're getting, that they're compressing these old lovable games, really good games, and putting them on iOS to make them, you know, to bring them back, in a ways. I mean, now we have XCOM on iPad. You have Knights of the Old Republic on iPad. You'll have BioShock on iPad.
I don't know that I'd consider BioShock an old game. It's only last gen.
It came out on the 360. But just seeing the original BioShock and playing that game was such a game changer for me, as one of a different way to look at a game. You know, It wasn't your standard run of the mill shooter. You know. So it's good to see all these cool games coming to iOS and in these mobile devices, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Now, I'm just going to put this out there, because obviously we've getting pretty close to what we normally try to shoot for. Mm-hmm. So I was just going to ask you, is there any big headlines that you really wanted to talk about? Because I have a few, but all mine are very quick stuff.
There's only a couple things I'd probably like to mention. One of them being is now PS Now is now in open beta. So if if you haven't seen that and you have a PS4, if you go into the PS store, the PlayStation store, you should see the option come up there for it'll say PS Now, right. And you can probably download the client or whatnot if there is a client, or they just stream from there. And they've actually changed a lot of the pricing and made it a lot more reasonable.
Yeah, now it's like, it's not the hour minimum or whatever.
No,
it's like four hours.
And I believe they go from $2.99 is pretty standard for the, you know, try it out for 4 hours or whatnot thing. It's pretty reasonable if you're going all the way for the – I think it caps at 90 days. But usually those are capping around $15 for 90 days. Usually plenty of time for you to get through a game.
Sure. You know? And when I checked it out, when I noticed, it was – there wasn't a client like it wasn't with the beta. It was just you log into the store and you pick a game and you download it, which, I mean, it makes perfect sense because it integrates it right into the store. You know, it doesn't take you out to a separate section, which is brilliant.
it's really cool. The only thing I would put out there is you're going to have to be really careful. And depending on your ISP and your internet connection itself, you may not get good streaming quality with the game. I've played a few on my internet connection, and I've complained before about my internet connection. But it doesn't look quite like it should. So you may run into some streaming quality issues, you know. But that's what you're signing up for. PS Now is a streaming service. So you are streaming that game. So you got to understand you are at the mercy of your internet connection.
Sure. And they did mention that they're looking into like a subscription system, whatever that might mean. They haven't given us any details on it. I'm really interested in that. But when they mentioned it, it kind of disappointed me, because I was hoping, and there's still a possibility they might, that they were going to roll it somehow into the PlayStation Plus subscription.
I hope they do. That would be amazing.
I was hoping they would, but it doesn't sound like that's going
to
be the case.
No, it looks like they're going to do something else. And so I know they've talked about rent-to-own kind of thing.
There's still a possibility that they might give us maybe a reduced subscription cost because we're PlayStation Now subscribers. Like if it's... I'm just pulling numbers out my butt here, but say it was $15 a month, then giving it maybe to the PlayStation Plus people for $5 a month.
Something like that. Some kind of discount. I could even see in the future a PlayStation Plus subscriber get a free game off, a free rental.
Definitely. That was one thing that I am kind of expecting, is that there will be at least a game on there that is available to PlayStation Plus players every month that they don't have to pay to rent. It's just there for that month. Now, it wouldn't be the same system we're currently used to, where we download it and we just keep it until until yeah. they change that system, or if they change that system.
It's only going to be for a limited time. That's the way it is with renting these. So
right, and so, you know, I would expect that sort of thing because they've made that precedence with all their other devices and consoles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of expecting that. But like I said, it'd be nice if they give us some sort of discount since we're PlayStation Plus members. But they also haven't given us any details if they do end up doing a subscription system, what that exactly means.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. Now, speaking of PlayStation Plus, the other thing I want to mention, I have two more things I want to mention. We did get our new today, all the PlayStation Plus stuff did come on the store today. So PS4, we got a couple games. We got Fez and another indie game called The Road Not Taken, which has been described as like a roguelike puzzle adventure title. And that's called Road Not Taken. Mm-hmm. We also get I've been hearing nothing but good things about this game, Fez, and I've never played it, you know. But it's a platformer. It's supposed to be done really well. It looks 8-bit kind of platforming, but I've heard nothing but good things about this game since it came out a year or two ago.
I'm sure if nothing else, Sarah will be giving us reviews on them.
Yeah, exactly. Vita, the Vita got a few games today. We've got Fez. We also got a new game called Metrico, which I don't know very much about. It's a new game. I know that. It's just released, and we get it for free on PS Plus. On Vita. And then we also got, what's the other one? Fez. Proteus. And it looks kind of like a Minecraft-y type exploration game. I don't think you craft things, but it looks in that kind of the visuals of it look Minecraft-y.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's being described as an exploration game. I've also seen it all. I've also heard that Dragon's Crown is supposed to be free on the Vita, but when I was on there today, Dragon's Crown was not listed as a free game on the Vita. Yeah. I know, so I think that's been a little misled there.
And then the other thing, I was reading my email because Sony always sends out the update every couple of weeks or whatever when they send new games come to the PlayStation Plus. And I swear the email said that all three consoles were going to be getting Rogue Legacy for the PlayStation Plus game. Now, obviously, I misread it because they all have Rogue Legacy,
but it's not free PlayStation Plus game.
So I was kind of bummed because I saw that and I was like, oh, that's a game I've been wanting to play. Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't on any of them. I was like, aww.
Maybe down the line we'll get it for free, but maybe. Not right now.
So it seemed like one of those games that I really wanted to play, but I wasn't really digging the price tag on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 16, it's a little steep for what it is.
Yeah.
You know? The other things I want to mention is there's a new trailer for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. It gives you the story details and a little bit of campaign gameplay, and it looks great. But the big announcement was the multiplayer trailer will be out in a few days on August 11th. So look for that if you're into Call of Duty like I am. The last thing, I'm a big fan of Bruce Campbell. I love Bruce Campbell. The movies he's in, especially the Evil Dead movies, some of the best horror movies if you like kind of campy horror and stuff. But it was announced this week that there will be an Evil Dead TV show coming, and Bruce Campbell is starring in it. Yeah. So I was way excited for that.
He's coming to Comic-Con,
the character.
Right?
Yeah, he is. And also we got some Walking Dead people coming to Comic-Con too. The governor, David Morrissey.
No, he's the new doctor. He's coming.
Yeah, he's the new doctor. but yeah, so Bruce Campbell, if I can get my picture with him at Comic-Con, that would be awesome because I'm a big Bruce Campbell fan.
There's not no Stan Lee, but...
No Stan Lee, no. I'm not going to kiss him like I would Stan Lee, but I would definitely give him a big hug.
Yeah, that's...
My wife's looking weird at me right now. She just walked in.
That's a weird conversation to walk into.
She kind of noticed when I said I'd give Stanley a kiss.
I know my husband's talking about kissing other guys. I don't know.
But I think that's the big things I wanted to mention. Yeah,
the couple things I wanted to mention, they're all really quick stuff. Obviously, don't forget, you need to log in before September 30th to flag your account for the Azeroth Chopper for the Horde side. And as we mentioned from the very beginning, the Alliance bike is going to be coming to the game as well. Big shocker.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing they announced a couple days ago is they're going to be doing like a presser, and they're going to announce the official release date for Warlords of Draenor.
Nice.
Now, I'm guessing it's going to be in around November. That's when the last couple have come out, around November. So that's what I'm expecting. I know Delga said he's hoping for October, but I'm honestly, I'm expecting November. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, probably.
Let's see, what else? We got a small update. Well, it might be a big update as far as what it actually does, but in my eyes, it's a small update.
Because I'm not really going to use it.
Yeah, your PS4 can kind of run, or your PS4 can actually run 3D Blu-rays now. Not a
huge
thing.
After that update that came out this week, or last week.
Right. Let's see, what else? Oh, one big thing that I thought was really cool is Blizzard announced that they're going to allow you to copy your saves from the last gen Diablo console games, like the 360 and the PS3, to the new gen for the PS4 and Xbox One. So that's kind of nice for them. So if you're moving to the new gen, you can bring your save along with you to play on the new console. They still haven't mentioned anything about PC to console, which kind of makes sense because it's probably very different. And I wouldn't
hold your breath on that.
Yeah, I think they've actually said that they're not going to do that. So not something I would, like Brian said, not something I would necessarily hold my breath about. And let's see, the last one I wanted to mention is, and, you know, obviously we love bagging on EA as much as possible. And so EA is, for I'm not sure how long, they're doing a trial for SimCity. Now, SimCity's got quite the stigma about it.
What is this trial you speak of?
First of all, it has this huge stigma leading back to the really, really choppy launch. And then the past year of just not being a great experience online, and then finally getting around to giving us an offline mode to play with. Even though at the very beginning they said it's not doable because of the way the game was built. Just saying.
Yeah.
But, so a couple of quick things that they're going to do for this trial is they're only going to let you play in two regions, which makes sense for a trial. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest thing for me that I thought was kind of hilarious is they're not putting a time frame that you can play it on. They're just saying you only have 4 hours.
What?
And those 4 hours start once you start playing. And the stipulation is it's only playable by one Origin account on one PC. So if you own a PC and there's multiple people that play on their Origin accounts on there, only one of you are going to be able to play the trial.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that 4 hour thing. Okay, there's a 4 hour limit, but it's for only one play setting. So you can play one time for up to 4 hours. But once you turn it off, at least this is how the article read. Once you turn it off, though, you're done. Now, if you know that going in and you have time to sit down and play, 4 hours is plenty of time to
find out
if you're willing to buy it. And I think it's only like $20 right now, even if it's not on sale. It's like $20. So It's not a bad price now that they've got all the bugs fixed out. And that should give you plenty of time to find out if you're interested in buying it or not. I just felt that it's like, see, I'm the type of person that I would download it, get it running, make sure everything runs right, and then probably turn it off and wait till I have more time to play it. And then I would have come back and been like, what?
Can't play it. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, you want to hear my real quick before we close? I had a run-in with EA today. So the other thing on the PlayStation Store this week is it's Battlefield Appreciation Month, right? So I was looking at this. I'm like, oh, Battlefield. You know, Jim and I have played the Battlefields in the past. We enjoyed them for what they were for the most part. Not so much Battlefield 3. And we haven't heard very good things about Battlefield 4, but there was this thing on Battlefield Appreciation Week where you could get Battlefield 4 for $28. $28. So they had it listed, Battlefield 4, $28. And then next to it, Battlefield 4 Premium for $31. I'm like, okay, Battlefield Premium. So I go over to Battlefield Premium, and it says you get all 5 pieces of content.
Okay.
With Battlefield Premium. So I'm thinking, okay, 28 versus 31. I'll get Battlefield Premium, right? Mm. So I'm looking, I'm like, why is this? Why would I just want Battlefield 4 and not get Battlefield 4 Premium?
Right.
And then I'm about to buy it, right? I'm in the store and I'm like, there's something weird about this. So I go back and look. Battlefield 4 Premium is just the season pass. So that's all it is.
So it's just the season pass, but they're not calling it the season pass.
They're not calling it the season pass. They're calling it Battlefield 4 Premium. Nice. So you don't get the base game with it.
Nice.
So I was like, no thanks. $28 for the base game and $28 for Battlefield 4 Premium.
So you're still paying the $60 to
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I was like, nah, no thanks.
And I don't even think that game's stable yet, is it?
Well, I was reading, I was looking over reviews because I wanted to be sure I was going to buy something that was going to be working. And for the most part right now, I think they've ironed out the bugs. I didn't see anything negative that's going on the PlayStation. On Xbox side of things, they're still having issues. But for the most part, all the PlayStation users that I read were not having issues. So take it for what it is. But I was just like, ah, it's still too rich for my blood.
So it's a good idea to keep an eye on what you're buying. And when it comes to EA specifically,
exactly,
if it sounds too good to be true, it definitely is.
Yeah, exactly. I was so disappointed when I saw, I was like, what? It's just the content? Okay, yeah, so
and,
that.
And that just seems kind of sleazy to me because, you know, everybody, Season Pass is kind of the universal term for that sort of thing nowadays. That's
exactly
what they call it. You know that they called it something different specifically for that reason, because there's probably people buying it with that exact mind. And then, well, I have the DLC now, so now I have to buy the game.
Exactly.
You and know?
Good old EA.
Guaranteed that was on purpose.
You're going to hear things from this.
Guaranteed that was on purpose. That was not an accident.
Nope.
So, I guess since we only really have one other thing in our list of news that we didn't mention, I might as well just say it, talk about it real quick. I did find a really cool video on YouTube it was last week.
Oh yeah.
It's a guy on YouTube. His name's Noble87. I don't know. I didn't look at too many of his other videos, but basically what he does is he does lore stories for, I don't know if he does other games, but I know he does a lot of WoW ones. World of Warcraft is what I mean. And I found one that he did that goes over the whole lore of World of Warcraft in 40 minutes. Now, obviously, he doesn't go into all the very big details, but he hits all the important points that you need to know jumping into WoW if you have any questions about the lore. Mm-hmm. Even, and he goes back so far, I think, even into like Warcraft 1 kind of thing, like what went on then into Warcraft 2 and then Warcraft 3 and then in the start of WoW, all that. He goes over the whole thing. Really good watch. I really enjoyed it. I posted a link in the forums, and I'll post a link to that in the show notes as well. So, but
cool.
It was the last thing we really had on there, so I was like, I might as well throw it in there.
Might as well mention it, yeah. Yeah, so it's a really good video, and if you're like me, who is basically a WoW noob, I mean, I've played all the content in WoW, the single, not the dungeons. I'm not so much a person that runs dungeons, but I played the, you know, PvE stuff.
Sure.
And I was, you know, I was really lost on what was going on in the story. So this is a great, this was a great thing for me filling in what I didn't know was happening in the game.
Yeah, exactly. And he did a great job of explaining it, keeping it simple, you know, hitting the important stuff. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
It was a really well done video, for sure.
Yep. Good deal. So check it out. We'll leave it in the show notes. Well, I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's all I got for this week.
Okay. So just like always, if you want to get a hold of us, you can visit our website at tdtpodcast.com. Twitter is at tdtguild. You can also email the show at show@tdtpodcast.com. With that, any last words, Josh?
I got nothing.
Okay. Anyways, have a good week, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Take it easy.